Our star attained Broadway recognition in the stage play Our Town and established herself as the only actress who could possibly be considered for the film version of that play. Introduced to movie audiences in the movie Our Town, she later scored in Tree of Liberty, One Foot in Heaven, the very well-received Cheers for Miss Bishop, and several other fine films. Here in Hollywood, where fame has been attained by Elizabeth Scott, Randy Scott, Hazel Scott, Zachary Scott, the Scott Quintet, and other odd and assorted Scots, she is known as the Great Scott. It's a real pleasure indeed to introduce Miss Martha Scott.
Oh, Les, I'm afraid that some of the other Scots might not like that description so much. Oh, I heard the show Zachary did for you not so long ago, and I hope I can do as well.
Well, I had the pleasure of working with you in Chicago a few years ago, Martha. I have no doubts about your turning in a grand job.
Well, I'll try to live up to the Scott tradition, Les.
I know you will, Martha. And I'll be waiting for another word or two with you after the final curtain.
It's a date, Les. I'll be there.
Thank you, Martha Scott. The curtain is up, and here is the play.
Hello, I'm Mrs. King. I wired ahead for reservations.
Oh, yes, Mrs. King. Will you please fill out this card?
Thank you.
Your room is waiting for you.
Is it the room I requested?
Why, yes, a beautiful double room, facing the sea. The reservation was made for Mr. and Mrs. King, I believe.
Oh, yes, Mr. King will be along very soon.
Fine. It's a bit wintry now, but you've got a magnificent view of the sea. Boy, take Mrs. King up to room 818.
Hurry, George. Let's not waste a minute of this, George, darling. This is our room. The room we said we'd have someday, and there's the sea right outside our window. The waiter will soon be here with our wedding supper. I ordered the meal you said we were going to have, and after supper we'll go for a long walk. It's a sharp, clear evening, and there'll be a beautiful view of the sea from the cliffs. Just like that evening 3 years ago.
Look at the sea, Lois. They call this spot Devil's Brew.
Oh, it's beautiful. I've never seen anything so beautiful.
Well, that settles it then. This is the place we're coming to for our honeymoon. I have enough money saved up for one wonderful spree before I have to go overseas. And you do love me, Lois.
Oh, I do, George. You know that. But Mother says that she needs me now.
Well, I need you, too.
But I can't leave, Mother. Not now.
Then I can't hear a word you're saying in this wind. Besides, it's too nice an evening for domestic squabbles.
Oh, you're right, George.
Come on, let's hike over to Kenack Cove. There's a terrific restaurant there facing the sea.
Place, George.
Old New England. Hope they have some coffee going.
Let's sit over here by the window.
All right, fine.
Oh, George.
Yes?
I've been trying to find some way to tell you. Mother received a telegram from my aunt in Chicago this morning. She's very ill.
Oh, that's a shame.
Mother says we'll have to cut our holiday short, that we'll have to leave here tomorrow morning.
Lois, it's a trick. It's only another attempt on your mother's part to break us up.
Oh.
She knows every trick that was ever invented to keep a daughter tied to her parents' apron strings.
Oh, no, darling, don't say such things. It's so nice here, listening to the music. We will come back here, won't we?
Sure.
Oh, George. Oh,
can't you understand, Lois? Love isn't something you wrap up and store away like old clothes.
What can we do?
Do. We can get married tonight. There's a justice of the peace down in the village who'll be glad
oh,
to...
Oh, I can't.
I understand. You're afraid. Afraid of your mother. Lois, you'll have to realize once and for all...
Oh, dear, it's getting awfully cool out. I thought I'd better bring you your jacket.
Thank you, Mother.
Hello, George. There you are, Lois. Better button it. And don't stay up too late. We're catching an early train, you know.
I'll come right away, Mother. Good night, George. You weren't around the hotel in the morning. I waited until almost train time. Sure that you'd come to say goodbye, but you didn't. You didn't write from camp either, and I didn't know where you were. The little rag doll you sent from Algiers had no note on it, and the little locket from Paris had a plain white card that said, "Love, George." Then at last, before the invasion, you wrote what was in your heart. Shortly afterward, I received a telegram from the War Department. You were an orphan. You had no close relatives, and you had given my name as your next of kin in case of... The communication said you were missing in action. At first there was a dull shock, and then tears, and then darkness. No, not darkness, but a suspension of feeling, a numbness.
Lois, you've got to stop this. You haven't been yourself for weeks.
I'm all right, Mother.
It's important that you get hold of yourself again.
Oh, what good will it do for me to get hold of myself again?
Please, Lois, don't talk like a foolish child. Many boys are reported missing in action and show up as fit as a fiddle later. You're just making things very difficult for yourself and for me acting this way.
I see. I'm sorry, Mother.
That's better. I reserved two seats for the play at the Hartman Theater.
Oh, I don't want to go to the theater. I couldn't.
People are beginning to talk about you. You have to start acting like a normal person again.
I don't care what people think. They haven't been hurt as I've been hurt.
Lois, you're dramatizing this. I know that you were very fond of George, that you were very good friends.
Friends?
He couldn't have offered you anything.
Nothing but happiness. Oh, I'll make it up to him. I'll wait for him if he's missing for years. I'll wait for him always.
Stop it, Lois. You're being melodramatic. I see now that I was wrong to encourage you in the belief that he'll return. Very few do, and you'd better face facts. He was probably killed in action.
Oh, no, you were right before. He will return. I know it. What night are the theater tickets for, Mother?
Friday night. Why?
I'll go to the theater with you, Mother. We mustn't quarrel. I couldn't bear it if we were to quarrel. Loving you was the only thing that kept me from running off and marrying George before he left.
And I love you too, Lois. I'd do anything to make you happy.
I must stay happy. I must be gay. I must keep myself alive and vital for George. Mother!
What's wrong, Lois? I was fast asleep.
The picture of George. The large colored photograph I had on my dresser.
Yes? What about it?
It's gone. Did you take the picture, Mother?
Why should I take the picture?
You did take it. Mother, what did you do with the picture?
I haven't seen the picture.
You destroyed George's picture.
Lois, go to bed. We'll talk about it in the morning.
You destroyed George's picture.
Go to bed.
What right did you have?
All right, Lois. I did destroy the picture. It's been almost a year now since he was reported missing. There isn't a chance in the world of his being alive, and you'll just have to accept the fact. You'll have to think of the future.
I forgive you for destroying it, Mother. But please don't say that he's dead again. He's alive, Mother. He's been captured somewhere. He'll come back. And he's my future.
Lois, you haven't touched your supper.
I searched the entire house, Mother. George's letter's gone. The doll he sent... The locket are gone, too.
They only serve to keep you agitated. It's best they are gone.
Did you burn the letter, Mother? Tell me.
Yes, I burned it.
Didn't you know that you couldn't possibly destroy George's letter?
I had to, Lois, dear. It wasn't right for you to sit in your room night after night rereading those same embittered words.
I know every word of the letter. Did you reread it before you burnt it? Did you hear his words ringing in your ears? My dearest Lois, I hate to write this way.
As the months stretch out, this deal gets messier and messier. I realize how wrong you were not to grant me my one desire in life. It's no good being alone, feeling alone. A man has to belong, to have someone needing him at home. We should have gotten married, Lois. Then I wouldn't have this rotten feeling of not belonging. I suspect that your mother's happy now that she knows
I'm out of the way. And maybe for good. Are you happy, Mother? Are you hoping he doesn't come back?
I can't understand you anymore, Lois. Had George come back and gotten a good job and been able to support you, I would have been happy to... Where are you going, Lois?
To pack my things. I'm leaving you, Mother.
Lois, turn around and listen to me. You won't accomplish anything by running away.
I'm not running away.
We've both become a little excited tonight. It's understandable there should be slight misunderstandings between us now and then.
Slight misunderstandings? It's not only tonight, and you know it as well as I do.
You don't know what you're saying.
Tonight, all I could remember was the smile I saw in your face when you saw that telegram.
That's not true. You imagined it.
I think I've hated you ever since that night. I can't bear to see you, talk to you, to live in this house another day.
Listen to me, Lois. It's not easy to stand here and remember that it was I who suffered when you were born. That it was I who looked after you every waking day of your life. Who struggled to support you after Dad died. I've given up my life for you. And now you turn against me and my love for you.
I'm through with your kind of love. I'm beginning to see my mother for the first time in my life. And there's just one thing that I know. If George is dead, you killed him. I'll never live with you again.
You've no place to go. You'll be all alone.
I've got the whole world to live in. And George will come back. I'm going back to the only place I can remember a happy hour. We'll have that honeymoon we planned and the happiness he longed for. I won't give it up. Not for your tears or your selfish martyrdom.
Lois!
Lois, come back! Don't leave me!
Goodbye, Mother. Come in.
I have the dinner you ordered, madame. Shall I set the table over here?
We aren't quite ready to eat. You see, Mr. King has been detained, but you might as well set the table in the meantime.
Certainly, madame.
If you would, I'd like to have the table pulled over by the window.
Why, certainly. It is a lovely view, isn't it?
Yes. You can put me there on the end and put Mr. King's chair right opposite the window.
The dining room closes at 9, madame. I hope you will be ready to eat pretty soon.
Oh, yes, very soon. You see, George, that's Mr. King. He'll be along any minute. I'll call the desk when we're ready.
Very well, madame.